Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of Proverbs. And while you're turning there, Proverbs chapter 30. And we've been going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. We find ourselves this morning in chapter 30, verse 15. How many of you heard a sermon out of these two verses or three verses, 15, 16? You ever heard a sermon? Pray for the pastor up here this morning. This is the first time I ever preached a sermon from these verses. Okay. But I think there's some good stuff here for us. Okay, so I think God has a word here for us. Because I believe all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And he has a purpose for those verses here this morning. We're going to dig into them a little bit this morning here and see what God has to say to us here this morning. The title of my message here this morning, Christ, the Conqueror of the Curse. The Conqueror of the Curse. Verse 15, the horse leech has two daughters, the leech, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say it is not enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I pray here you guide our thoughts here as believers. And Father, all the scriptures given to us for our instructions, for our correction, for our being made righteousness to you, God, our lives being made righteous before you. And Father, I pray that, Father, as your word is powerful, it's alive, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray that the Spirit of God would energize the Word of God to our hearts here this morning. Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and bring glory to the name of our great God, our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, bless us as your people. We gather around and thank you for your Word we hold in our hands. And, Father, may it sink deep into our hearts and into our ears that we might know thee better and love thee more perfectly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The horse leech has two daughters. As Nancy and I were discussing this verse here, and we chewed on it a while and talked about it, there's something that has a thread through all those verses there. And a leech, give, give, uncontentment, things that are never satisfied. What is the grave and the barren womb and the earth not filled with water and fire that it's not? What does that all have in common? In verse 17, we'll look at that a little later here this morning. What does that have in common with these verses? How do they fit together here in Proverbs? What is Agur trying to say here as he penned these words? Well, one thing that draws all these verses together is the curse, because the curse makes people never satisfied. Now, the horse leech. Has anybody an idea what a horse leech is? Oh, okay. Well, okay. Chris, just keep it to yourself. I'm up here this morning, okay? I'm glad you looked it up. Phones are a wonderful thing, but they can get overpowering at times. They're little animals about so long, 2 or 3 inches long. Now, when a horse drinks water, puts his nose down in the water, and these leeches come and fasten onto the noses, the nose of the horse. A horse has no way to get those creatures off. They go up in his nostrils. They're a leech. What does a leech do? But it sucks into you and draws the life out of you. Now, I don't think anybody in their normal mind wants to have a leech hooked onto them. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, that is not something. Where did leeches come from? Now, God made the heavens and the earth, and when he made them, he said, it is what? Good. He said it over and over and over again. It is good. But then something happened. Well, let's turn to Genesis here. I want to talk about the curse here that we experience in this world. The curse. Turn to the book of Genesis. This is where it all started. Because when God made everything, it was good. Over and over again, he says, it was good. And verse The fall of man. Genesis chapter 3. Now, we have an enemy, a slanderer, an accuser of the brethren. What's his name? Satan. The devil, Satan, Lucifer. Call him what you may, he's a bad guy. And he works pain and misery in this world. And in Genesis chapter 3, he tempted the woman with food. And she yielded to his temptation. He deceived her. Eve gave it to her husband. They were both deceived. And God did something that he knew it did every day in verse 8. He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. He wanted to have fellowship with them. You know, God met with them. Can you imagine just the sweet communion they had before the fall, that every day God came and talked to them, and Adam would share every new thing he found in the garden and every new thing they did, and they'd talk about God's plan for their lives and just the communion. But when they fell into sin and sin entered the world and death by sin, they hid themselves among the trees in the garden. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. The shame he feels. And God just asked a question. Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, and that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The man blames the woman. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The woman blames the serpent, and I did eat. It hasn't gotten much better, has it, in this world? Everybody blaming everybody for what's happened. Nobody's taking responsibility. Verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, all livestock, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. The serpent's cursed. Verse 15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This conflict is set up here, part of the curse in the world. The curse here. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Another curse in the world. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That husband and wife conflict. Instead of harmony, you have conflict. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles thou shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and dust thou shalt what? Return. Is that true? Do we have a cemetery out there? Do people return back to the dust that they were taken? Is that true? Are the statistics on death pretty impressive? One out of one people die? Did I miss it anywhere there? Is that the way it is? That's what God says. That's what we see. That's reality. How do you know truth? If truth matches up with reality, that's true. The curse that came upon. Now, I want to talk about curse here for a moment because it's used different ways in the Bible. God in Deuteronomy says he gives his people blessings and cursings. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll be cursed. Now, sometimes in this sense here in Genesis, The curse is what God pronounced. In other words, the curse is what it used to do, it can't do anymore. The ground used to bring forth abundantly. Now it's going to bring forth thorns and thistles. A little children's rhyme. Adam done a bad deed. Now we got a garden to weed. Is that a true statement? Is that true? That is true. We got a garden to weed. And what the curse, in a sense, is sometimes things are binded, restricted, taken away. That's the curse. Man was meant to live forever, but death entered. So now we're restricted. We can't live forever. It's bound that things are come back in our physical world here. That's the curse. Now, we live in a cursed world. Is that true? We see it everywhere. Look at the news. Do you see violence? Do you see people that lie? Do you see people that hurt people? Do you see wars and rumors of wars? Do you see weapons of mass destruction being built over and over again? Everywhere we turn, that's what we see in our world. We live in a cursed world. That's the world we live in. Now, turn over here to Proverbs. Okay, that sets a little backdrop here. Proverbs chapter 30. Agur, he's penning these words down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, this curse that's in the world, the horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. Now, in the physical world, the leech just sucks the life out of people. You ever met people that they just, everything's all about them, and they want everything to bless them? They're not thinking about other people. They don't love other people. If you get in a conversation with them, it's inevitable the conversation turns to them and what they've done in life and what they're going to do in life and how great they are. And it's just all about them. Give, give, never content, never happy, never satisfied. That's a fallen world we live in. There's things like leeches that suck the life out of people. There's people that suck the life out of other people. They're never satisfied. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. Now, he goes on to expand upon this broken world we live in, the curse. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four things. That's a Jewish way of expressing ideas. There's three, but not quite three. There's actually four. It's their way of just emphasizing it. It's not enough. Now, is the grave part of the curse? It is. The grave is part of the curse that came into the world. That is not how God meant it to be. When Mary and Martha lost Lazarus, what does the scripture say? They wept over their brother that passed away. They cried. Why? Because that's an enemy. Death is an enemy that rips loved ones out of our lives that we loved and cared for. That's not how God meant it to be. The grave, that's part of the curse in this world. And the grave, have you ever thought about the earth is one big grave? You ever thought about that? All the billions of people that have lived are buried on the earth. It's one big grave. This is part of the curse. The barren womb, that's not how God meant it to be. When Hannah wanted to bear a child in the Old Testament, she wept sore because in her was this woman's makeup. She was designed to bear a child, and yet her womb was barren. She was beside herself. She wanted, how about Rachel, when she couldn't bear children, and she looked at Jacob, said, give me children, at least I die. The barren womb, that's not how God meant it to be. That's part of the curse we live under. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, drought. You know, in Africa, sometimes they have such droughts that just devastate the economy. Nothing grows. And the Old Testament scriptures, there are times they had famines where nothing grew. That is part of the curse in the world that we experience. And fire that is not enough. How about going out west and looking at all the acres that have burned in our nation? The fires that have just burned relentlessly. It's not got part of God's plan for the creation. All these things cause pain and sorrow. They all cause pain and sorrow. The curse over creation. That's what we see here in verse 15 and 16. This is the curse over creation. The curse over creation. It's everywhere. Now, we as God's people, we need to see this is not our home. What does God call us as his people? He calls us sojourners. He calls us strangers. Why does God call us strangers in this world? Because this is not our what? It's not our home. We're a stranger here. Do you ever feel as God's people, you just don't fit in this world sometimes? You ever feel that way? You ever hear the news and it just makes you mad because you see all the evil that people do and it grinds you? That's why, because you're a stranger. You don't fit in this world. The curse over creation, it's everywhere. It affects everything. It affects relationships. It affects agriculture. It affects everything in creation. The grave, the barren womb, the earth, water, fire, you name it, there's a curse on it. And with that curse, I want to tell you something here. Nobody has a perfect life in this world. Don't walk down the street and say, oh, that person's got it all together and they got a good life and they got a good life. I guarantee you, if you look at a person's life long enough, you're going to see the pain there somewhere in their life, because we all live in a cursed world. You've got your pain. I've got my pain. My neighbor's got their pain. Everybody here has a measure of pain in their life. Why? Because the grave, the barren womb, the earth that's never satisfied, crying, give, give, people. You have your pain in this world. We all have our pain because this is a cursed world. So it's not that, it's like one person says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. That's what sin is. It's not the way it's supposed to be. This is not how God wants it to be. But this is a reality where we find ourselves as strangers in this world. So how do we deal with this cursed world and this not perfect world and this not good world at this time? How do we deal with that? What did Agur do here? What does verse 5 say? Every word of God is what? Pure. Verse 5 of chapter 30. Every word of God is tried and pure. He is a shield unto them that what? Put their what? Trust in him. You live in this cursed world. You know how you can live above this cursed world? You put your trust in God. Now, Acts 14:22 says, through tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. You live for God. In this present world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. But when you get on the other side and God calls you home, and he looks at you and says, well done, thy good and what? Faithful servant. Are you going to be glad you're on the winning side? You know what I'm saying? And what do you do? Because we live in this cursed world. Verse 5 says, every word of God is pure, tried. He is a what? Shield. A shield against the grave, a shield against the barren womb, a shield against selfish people, a shield against all these things. It's not that you don't feel the pain, but God is there holding you up through the pain. When you go through the fire, he's with you in the fire. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did they go into the fire? Literally. They went into the fire. But what did Nebuchadnezzar say when he looked in there? He says, I see four men in there, and one is like the Son of God. See, when you go into the fire, God's going to be with you. It's not that you don't have persecution. It's not that you're not going to have tribulation.
God's going to be with you. This world is a cursed world. The minute you understand that, because if you say life isn't fair, you've got to accept life is not fair. But what do you do with that? Life isn't fair. It isn't right. It's not going to do you right in this world. But what do? You turn to God. You embrace verse 5. Every word of God is pure and tried. So when I'm going through the curse of this world in verse 16, I turn to God and say, God, what do you say? God says, I'll never leave you nor what? Forsake you. That's what God says. Because we live in a cursed world. The cursed world. Now, look at verse 17. Creation is cursed. Verse 16. How about relationships are cursed? Look at verse 17. The eye that mocketh his father and despised to obey his mother. Now, what is that saying there? Okay, you got a son or a daughter, and they mock their parents. Now, mocking doesn't mean just, you know, they're having a little attitude. They're like full-scale rebellion, pushing back. They're mocking. They're laughing. They have no parental authority. They do not honor their parents. The Ten Commandments are still there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. The eye that mocketh his father and despises his mother, it's the creation, the curse over relationships. Curse over creation, the curse over relationships. Do we see that in society today? Do we see a curse over relationships? Does a husband and wife who've lived together for, I can't tell you the times I've heard, I'm not talking about marriages for 3 years, how about 30 years getting a divorce? Is that sad? That is sad. They've walked together for 30 years and all of a sudden they just can't deal with each other. I'm out of here. That is a curse over relationships. We see that in our society. The family is breaking up everywhere. And here we see that curse that in the home, the young people are not respecting their parents. How does God feel about rebellion? How does God feel about people that don't follow his ways? How does God feel about sin? How's he feel about sin? Does it matter to him? How serious does God take sin? Serious enough to send his son to die for it. Is that serious? I think that's pretty serious. And people that mock God and laugh at God and don't take him seriously, you better watch out. God's going to show up one day. Yeah, you can have your time. You can have your fun. There's pleasure in sin. But it's only for a what? Season. Summer, fall, winter, spring. Those seasons come and go. They go pretty quick. You can enjoy your sin. It's only for a season. And then God shows up. And then what are you going to say? See, the curse is over relationships. And human responsibilities, we fight against the curse, but we can't ultimately overcome it. How do we overcome it? Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Now, relationships. You have relationships from child to parent, but from parent to child. How about this one? How about a parent that... Like a dad commits adultery against his wife, he moves in with his girlfriend. I've heard that story so many times. Moves in with his girlfriend. And the wife has 3 kids at home. Dumps them for a new woman. How do you think God feels about that? Is that just, that's just life? Behold, your sin will what? Find you out. Nobody ever gets away with anything. It's like one preacher said, the wheels of God's justice turn ever so slowly. You think these people, it looks like nothing ever happens to them. They move ever so slowly, but they grind ever so finely. God never misses a thing. And they'll have their day before God one day. But these relationships, child to parent, parent to children, husband to wife to husband, pastor to congregation to pastor, citizens to their government to citizens. All these are relationships that we have in society. When it comes to the home, you got a husband, a father, a wife and a mother, and children. Are those relationships in God's sight all equal with each other? Are they all equal?
No.
Who's the head of the home?
Dad.
The father is the head of the home. That means he is to take that home and make it a Christian home and lead in a Christ-like way, not a boss. A boss drives, a leader leads. A shepherd leads the sheep. Follow me, they know the shepherd's voice. You herd goats, you drive goats. We're sheep. A husband leads by example. A husband is to them what Christ should be to the church. He loves his wife as Christ loved the church. He loves his children. That's what a husband's do. A wife is to put herself under the authority of her husband. Now, it says in Scripture in Ephesians, a husband should be willing to die. Did Christ die for the church? A husband should love his wife like Christ loves the church. A husband should be willing to die for his wife, for her protection, for her well-being. That's what a godly man will do. He is her protector and provider. That is a godly man. Now, women, God wants the man to be willing to sacrifice his life for your good. Do you have to sacrifice your life? You do, because you lay down your life in submission to your husband. The husband is to follow the Lord and love the wife and lay down his life, but the wife lays down her life to follow her husband's leadership. That is the Christian home. That's the way God has it. We're not all equals in this world. We're not all equals. That's the problem that Korah made in the Old Testament. Remember when Korah raised up against God and he said to Moses, we all have God's spirit. God speaks to all of us. Who do you think you are, Moses? And guess what? At the end of the day, guess what God told Korah and his family? Moses is my servant. Moses is the one I chose to lead my people. And Korah was put in his place, literally, if you know the story. He was put in his place. So when it comes to relationships in this cursed world, God has given orders in society. Should citizens respect the police that patrol our streets? Should we respect our police force? We should. That's God's order. Romans 13. Will we respect the order that God has established in society, government? We should respect our police. All these relationships. So we have the cursed relationship. The eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagles shall eat of it. Now, it sounds graphic, and it is, but I'm going to tell you something. If you know anything about birds of prey, if they have a dead animal, the first thing they go to is the eye every time. The hide is tough to get through. The eye is tender. Every time. So the imagery here to me, what it's speaking here is the eye that mocketh his father and despises obey his mother. You better be careful because there is a sin unto death. And I'm just saying, I'm just preaching what's right here. God says that that's a serious sin. And sometimes people have shortened their lives because they have not taken God's word seriously. And they have perished and the birds of prey have fell upon them. And you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay. How about David and Absalom? How did it go for Absalom in the Bible when he rebelled against his dad? Not good. Didn't go good for Absalom. God takes rebellion seriously. And not everybody that rebels against their parents goes, I got it. God's gracious. He gives people time to repent. But there is a deadline sometimes that God, only God knows, and he draws that line. And when people step over it, woe be unto them. Curse over relationships. And there is a consequence for not living under authority. Is everybody in this room under authority? We are, okay? We're under the authority of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ as Christians. We're under his authority. We're under the authority of our government, God's ordained government. We're under their authority. In America, we're a blessing. We can vote for our leaders. But we're under authority. Children, they're under their parents' authorities. Parents are under Christ's authority. We're all under authority. The curse over relationships in verse 17. Now, what I'd like to do is I want to transition to communion, but during communion time, I want to talk about how Christ conquered the curse that we all feel and as we go to communion here. So I want to close this, and we'll sing a hymn here, Jim, and then we'll move into communion, but then I want to talk about here how Christ conquered the curse that we're all under. So let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, as we close out this message here this morning, move to communion, I pray, Lord, that as the curse that is upon us, I thank you for Jesus Christ that broke the curse and set us free. So, Lord, I pray that, God, that you would speak to our hearts, and, Lord, bless our communion time as we turn to you in this time to remember the suffering that Christ had on the cross for each of us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.